An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Proverbs 16:27. Spiritual deception is a recurring theme throughout the Bible, warning believers of the dangers posed by false teachings, false prophets, and the subtlety of Satan's schemes. The scriptures provide numerous examples of teachings that highlight the reality and pervasiveness of spiritual deception, urging believers to remain vigilant and discerning. Satan is depicted as the ultimate deceiver throughout scripture. In John 8:43-45, Jesus asks, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? Is it because you are unable to accept my message? You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak truth, you do not believe me." And from Revelations 12:9, it refers to Satan as the great dragon. "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." These descriptions emphasize the pervasive influence of satanic deception and the need for believers to be on guard. The reality of spiritual deception is a significant concern in the biblical narrative, with numerous warnings and examples provided to guide believers. The scriptures emphasize the need for vigilance, discernment, and adherence to the truth of God's word to navigate the challenges posed by deceptive teachings and influences. From BibleHub.com. Unfortunately, the things that are being played out now are too numerous for us to mention. Each country, state, community has been struck by the cords of evil and felt the hand of wickedness taking life from them. We've heard the cries of those grieving their loss and of the tragedies that brought them about. When had justice been served righteously, those committing these atrocities would not have roamed freely. Rather, they would have been found in places that would keep others safe from them. Many are in need of help, help that does not come, help that is denied, because to reveal truth would mean unmasking a narrative. It would mean a loss in profits. It would mean that righteousness is being served and people may know real peace within and without. Instead, cries rise up, accusations fall down, and another day comes and goes with no resolve, no remorse, no peace, and the hope of unity dying just a little more each day. From Charles Spurgeon in his book Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. "In the world around us, we must not think that things go altogether wrong when the powers of evil become strong. We would be foolish if we wept in despair because the tares are ripening, for is not the wheat ripening too? True, the dead become more corrupt, but if the living become more active, why should we lament? Because blasphemy grows loud? Because infidels seek to undermine the foundations of faith? Or because the clouds of superstition grow to become denser? We must not therefore conclude that we have fallen upon evil times the like of which were never seen before. Do you not know that in the world of nature, the darkest time of night is right before the dawning of the day? Even so, when evil is at its height, it is nearest its fall. Look for the confirmation to the pages of history. When no straw was given to make bricks, Moses was used by God to deliver the oppressed. And when Pharaoh would by no means let the people go, and his yoke seemed riveted upon the neck of Israel, then the right arm of God was made bare, and the Red Sea beheld his vengeance. And when despots grow most tyrannical, liberty's hour is coming. When the lie becomes so exceedingly bold and wears a brazen front, then it is truth that confounds her. When Goliath stalks abroad and defies the armies of Israel, then is the stone already in the sling and David near at hand to lay the giant low. Do not, therefore, dread the coming of greater opposition or the apparent increase in strength of those oppositions that already exist. For it has always been so in the history of events that the hour of the triumph of evil is the hour of its doom. And so we are to be dressed for battle at all times. Yes, the victory is the Lord's, and only He can snuff out the darkness, but our faith will find us on the front lines fighting for the souls of men. Ephesians 6, 10-18 reminds us finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We've been talking in worship about the need to love our enemies, especially in today's cultural environment. The church has appeared to cede her authority over to the culture, and it is all too happy to make all the changes and adjustments that are needed for people today to bend a knee to idols, to false gods, to false ideals, and to false promises. And for far too long has the flow continued downstream, until today when the banks are overflowing and the waters of adversity are flooding the fields of reason and conscience, and what's being left behind is without life, without understanding, and without hope. These things are withdrawn when the people would rather believe a lie than die for the truth. Read the book of Jeremiah. We just finished a 3-year study of what Israel did with her days after being led to the land of milk and honey, given a promise of prosperity, only to become complacent, complicit, and afraid of truth. We are all of those things now. There's not a nation that has not bent a knee to a false god, and in their denying the one who came to save them, who came so that they may have life, who died that they may live. His name is now cursed by them. His name is heralded as the cause of their troubles, because his name is truth, and very few want to hear his name being spoken. As sons and daughters of the one true living God, we must intercede for the captives and pray against those carrying the sticks that beat them down. And may God's mercy find and rescue the oppressors also. There are 3 events scheduled for celebration and observation for the beginning of this month. These are the battles, their strategy for celebration, and of our need for intercession. Lord, may you free the captives. October 11th is National Coming Out Day. The day celebrated since 1988 honors the significance of coming out or inviting others in and raises awareness about LGBTQ+ rights. Coming out is a personal choice, they say, often an important part of reclaiming the right to live authentically in one's identity publicly. Lord, break the chains that bind them. October 5th through the 11th is the observation of Book Banning Week. A quote from the website PEN America, where they recorded 6,870 instances of book bans affecting nearly 4,000 unique titles in 24 and 25. They included books on school shootings, LGBTQ+, on rape, sexual experimentation filled with pornographic writings and illustrations designed for children. Lord, shed light on these lies. The month of October also is observed by LGBTQ+ groups as a month of celebration in the history of all things LGBTQ+. Lord, perversion is what people are craving now. They see no cost to anyone. Lord, silence the cry of folly as she calls more and more of the weak and broken to her. Heavenly Father, these words of Charles Spurgeon, they are spoken in truth. When evil is the darkest, it is nearest its fullness, and the time of consummation, its reign of terror, coming to an end. Quickly comes the day of your return, Lord, when light breaks the hold of darkness, when lies are revealed, and pain will not have a place where breath is yet drawn. Father, until the day of our Lord's return, we ask that your hand work twofold, that those speaking of, that are doing and promoting such evil as can be found in the lies of the LGBTQ+ platform, that they would have their platforms, whatever they may be, stricken from them, having no access to our young at all. And secondly, that the church, the people who are a part of her, that they would be awakened to what is happening behind closed doors and in secret. Lord, as you are now exposing the hypocrisy within the hearts of those governing us, we ask, Lord, also that you may expose the same in those who are teaching what ought not be taught to our young, thereby stealing life from them and trampling down their hopes for tomorrow. You, Lord, are the way, the truth, and the life. May it be your face that they seek, your hand that they reach for, and your love that frees them in their darkest hour. Deliver us from evil, Lord, both within and without. For without you, there is no hope. Without you, there is no life. Without you, there will never be peace. Lord, we pray for those who are without you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.